In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The depth of the tradition of the Church is gloriously manifest in what the Church calls the monuments. The monuments are among the richest aspects of our tradition, and the visible parts of the monuments constitute much of the tradition which your Sunday Mass goer knows and sees. Monuments constitute an important source of our knowledge of the faith and our Catholic patrimony. A monument, as I've discussed a little bit already in the past, in most cases is something which preachers create by the work of their own hands. Sometimes monuments are supernaturally given, yet received by a creature, such as the rosary. Monuments proceed from faith and may even incorporate divinely given or taught teachings. The composition of or creation of some monuments enjoys a guidance and direction by the Holy Ghost, because the divine providence did not leave the Church without irrefragable, that is, unbreakable documents to show the world that she is the greatest work in creation. It is still more evident through the ancient monuments of Christian art. Because the monuments proceed from a Catholic faith of those who created them or those who made them, and since they are often commissioned or written by the Church herself, they constitute a manifestation of the Church's teaching. Therefore, we as Catholics can look to these monuments as signs and in some cases formulations of what we are to believe. Monuments are of different kinds, however, and for the sake of grasping the richness of them, in our patrimony, we want to take a look at the different kinds. There are Church documents, such as encyclicals, exhortations, and the like. The writings of saints, the patristics, and theologians are all monuments. So you can actually go back, read these things, and that gives you access to the monuments of the Church. What we have already treated of them and discussed, but the first kind of monument we want to discuss is the various rituals and liturgies which were written, promulgated, and approved by the Church. This would include the various missals and rituals of the sacraments promulgated by the popes. Every missal ever promulgated by a pope, which is organically developed and true to the Catholic faith, that is, to the tradition, constitutes a source of knowledge for what we believe as Catholics. They also constitute a manifestation of that faith insofar as the faith approves of specific forms of worship of which God himself has preordained certain elements. For example, in Mass, the words of consecration are preordained. They can't change. Yet this kind of monument is highly important. It was always conceded that if a feast was in a liturgical calendar for a long period of time, the existence of the saint of the feast or the event of the feast took on a greater certitude the longer it was part of the calendar. This is important because in the new rite, they started removing certain saints from the calendar because of the fact that they did not feel there was sufficient historical evidence, failing to realize that the very fact that they were in the ritual, in the missal for centuries, itself constituted a sufficient proof. The monuments are sacred objects, and their passing from one generation to another constitutes a sacred act. It is a good and holy thing to pass on the monuments to subsequent generations. Conversely, the destruction of a monument or its modification was tolerated in the past only when a greater or more perfect monument was erected or promulgated. In the context of the liturgy, this meant that missals were updated to augment the calendar of feasts to accommodate the newly canonized saints, in order to make minor changes so that the worship of the Church became more perfect. Wholesale modifications in the past would have been considered by saints as an act of impiety, because the sweeping modification blocks or denies the perfection of the form of worship and the feasts of the saints when they're removed to the subsequent generation. It is also impious because wholesale modification presumes that prior saints were not adequately directed by the Holy Ghost in the compositions of the prayers of the Mass, and no saint would dare to presume to affect the liturgy passed to him by his ancestors to such a degree, particularly because the reverence he would have regarding the guidance of past saints by the Holy Ghost would have kept him in check. To presume to block the passing of a monument, not by perfecting it, which is actually an authentic part of the tradition, but by modifying it in such a way as to deny many of the elements in that monument, is to presume that one is greater than one's ancestors, including such saints as Saint Gregory the Great, Pope Pius V, and others, and that God did not adequately guide these saints in history. Great care has to be taken so as not to deny God's providential care of the Church manifested throughout history. In effect, it manifests a sin of presumption, because people actually think that they were greater in knowing the mind of God than people like St. Gregory the Great, Pius V, Pius X, and the like. The various sacred objects made for liturgical use, such as vestments, altars, chalices, etc., are also monuments testifying to the truths of the faith. The sacred books containing the various rites of the Church constitute a true source of knowledge for us. We can actually learn about the faith and the prayers contained in these rituals, as well as the Church understanding of how the sacred realities, such as the sacraments, were to be treated and properly adorned with a ritual. Since all of these things manifest the faith in various degrees, they constitute a true form of learning for the faithful. This is why the promulgation of a rite is so important, as is evidenced in the phrase lex orandi, lex credendi. Because the ancient rituals manifest the faith and the Church's moral code in practice, in other words, they embody what the Church teaches, the ancient rituals are always something by which subsequent rituals are judged. So what does this mean concretely? It means that the new rite of Mass is always to be judged in light of the old rite, not the other way around. Every rite which manifests the faith of the Church thereby teaches the faith. Therefore, we judge the subsequent rituals by these rites. No matter how much modern theologians and ecclesiastics wanted the old Mass to go away, the fact of the matter is that even if, God forbid, its use were to completely die out, the ancient rite of Mass would still remain a principle of judgment regarding the new Mass. Another form of monument in the area of the liturgy are the various rituals of the Church, for example, the Rituale Romana. The various rituals teach us a great deal about our Catholic faith, and their use constitutes a living out of that Catholic faith. In other words, it constitutes a living part of the tradition. For instance, the blessing of holy water tells us a great deal about our Catholic faith regarding the use of sacramentals. It also teaches us about how we are to live. The old rite of blessing of holy water exercises the salt and water prior to the blessing, making the holy water efficacious in driving out demons. Hence, we know that part of the Church's teaching is that we should use sacramentals to ward off the demonic, not in a superstitious manner, but in a manner proceeding from devotion and faith. These liturgical monuments affected and shaped culture and were often the foundation and basis of the culture itself, since culture ultimately comes from the Latin word cultus, which, of course, deals with not just the farming and agricultural practices, but it even is connected to how their actual understanding of religion. The fact that there has been a collapse in the use of various rituals of the Church, the sacraments, etc., is a direct cause of the collapse of the Catholic culture. There are a whole host of rituals and blessings contained in the Roman ritual, and Catholics would fare well to use them frequently. This is why parents should come to knowledge of the various blessings of the Roman ritual, and not only ask them for their own benefit, but they should teach their children to ask for the various blessings and sacramentals. While it is true that the official organ of tradition is the magisterium of the Church, the fact is that in the concrete, much of the tradition is passed on from one generation to another through the hands of their parents to their children. It is the parents who teach their children the way of living a Catholic life by the use of the sacraments, the sacramentals, and the blessings, etc. It is the parents who normally purchase prayer books for their children and teach them the basic prayers which each Catholic should know. The prayer books themselves are kind of monuments and are part of the Catholic tradition. This is why it is good to see that they're reprinting some of them. And people should hold on to their prayer books and pass them on to each generation so that they're actually used. This is a very important point, that part of being a traditional Catholic is to make sure that those monuments which fall under your care are always passed on to the subsequent generations for their benefit. In the next homily, we will continue with the monuments. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.